Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Friday, it isn't just me Friday, where we give you a chance to just unburden yourself heading off into the weekend. Give us those hot sports opinions, those takes, those critiques, criticisms, praise. Just give it to us in the form of, is it just me? Like this one from KT. Is it just me, or is all this Bridgewater talk more depressing than the thought of going into another global pandemic lockdown? Well, geez, that's a bit extreme.
Yeah, that's a little bit over
it
the
is,
top.
It is, though. It is. It has been interesting, hasn't it, to watch the whole dialogue when it comes to specifically Drew Lock and the quarterback position. And you are either in the camp of, hey, I think I want to see, or this guy deserves another shot, or you have just had it, you've seen enough, you are ready to move on. And any talk of bringing in Teddy Bridgewater or Andy Dalton or whatever, just grind your gears because you have just seen enough and want to move on to somebody else.
I learned what it is to be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're tired and you're frustrated and, you know, all those things. I was just kind of doing my own little quick study of the last 10 years of the draft, Mike. And I haven't gone through all the teams yet, but you know how DMAC the other day put out the just draft the quarterback, any quarterback, and if you miss 1 year, you just do it again, and then you just do it again, and then you just do it again. Kind of like, you know, the theory of the Cleveland Browns, eventually you'll hit, you know, eventually you'll get one. Listen, if you draft well over the course of a bunch of years, you know, you're going to build yourself a really good roster. Then you find a quarterback, you got a chance to win for a long time to come. But do you really want to be Cleveland in the last 10 years has had seven top 10 draft choices in the last 10 years? Jacksonville. You want to talk about a real factory of sadness in the last 10 years? You know how many top 10 draft picks they've had? Eight. Like that is the theory that DMAC is throwing at you right now. Just keep drafting. It's like Dory from Finding Nemo. Just keep drafting, just keep drafting, dun, 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 dun. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Dun, 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 dun. And it's exactly like Dory because you turn around and you go, oh, hi, how are you? What's your name? We just keep doing the same thing over, over and over again. Dun, 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 dun. And that is
the, folks, I have to apologize for Marshall Erith. He has grandchildren.
Well, he's
seen this a lot.
That's the theory that DMAC wants you to follow. It's the Jacksonville theory. It's the Cleveland theory. It's the New York Jets theory. Hey, Sam Darnold didn't work because we don't have a good team. Let's see if Zach Wilson does make it better. Dun, 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 dun. That's all we do here. I don't want to be Jacksonville. I don't want to be Cleveland for the next 22 years. I don't want to be the Jets. I don't want to be those teams. I mean, I really don't. Does anybody? Seriously.
So how do you avoid doing that?
Well, listen.
Because I know what
right.
He and others will say. Well, that's why you have to keep drafting quarterbacks. Because eventually, if you hit, then all of a sudden, all those top 10 draft picks go away because now you found your guy. And if you just subscribe to roster building and you don't really make an emphasis on addressing the quarterback, then maybe you're not picking in the top 10, but you'll be picking 15, 16,
right.
14. You'll be stuck in NFL purgatory.
Yeah, well,
How would you respond to that?
Well, I would respond to that by, like, if you're good at drafting, you're building a team, you're building a franchise, You're building a line of scrimmage. You're building a really good football team. And then when somebody does fall to you, when somebody is the guy, when you see, when you get that opportunity to trade for a second rounder like they did, like let's look at San Francisco. Okay. In 2011, they had a first round, first top 10 pick. There's one. 2012, no. 2013, no. 2014, no. 2015, let's see. Did they have a, no, 2016, well, yes. So that's two. 2017, yes. 2018, they didn't take quarterbacks with any of these, by the way. They just didn't jump up and get a quarterback. 2018, yes. So that's four, right? 2019, yes. That's five. Not, I don't believe one quarterback was taken in any of those picks. They were all, like they were all offensive and defensive right. line and linebackers. So,
and they built a team that then once they were in position to go get Jimmy Garoppolo for a second round pick, they went to the Super Bowl.
Right. And then went to the Super Bowl. Now, not last year notwithstanding because they had a bunch of just a bunch of different injuries and a lot of things that, that went wrong for them. But in 10 years, they had five top 10 picks and they did not one time go after a quarterback. Even though they didn't have one, Mike. Why? It's like Kyle Shanahan said the other day, you can't learn anything by going to a pro day. Nothing. You know what you do at a pro day? You create a trade with the Miami Dolphins. That's what you do. You do business at a pro day.
So why did they make this move to move up for a quarterback then?
Because they've built a roster that's really good. That really has a chance to dominate both lines of scrimmage. They know how to run the ball. They have an identity. Now they need a guy that can operate in not only the play action, but more importantly, the run action stuff, where the big chunk plays go, where the design stuff goes, and where it really becomes, yeah, like it becomes, that stuff is, becomes very simple. When you start running real run action stuff, Mike, when you study it, the real run action stuff is the explosive stuff because you've run the ball so well, but it really, most of the run action stuff is a half field flood where you get a linear progression from short to medium to deep all on one side of the football field. So it really becomes one of those things where you can be a bit of a sight thrower or you can be a young player and it doesn't take the anticipatory skills that it does to just throw it from the pocket. That's why they built a team. Now they're like, all right, is there, they're looking at it. Is there a quarterback of the future? Yes, there is. Let's move up into it. Remember, they didn't have a top 10. So of those five, they've moved up to get it. So it's really four and they didn't take a quarterback in any of those, like the Jets that take a quarterback every single year.
We asked you, gave you a little homework assignment. How would you, in a sentence or two, sum up what you think George Payton's plan is or has been to this point? Got a lot of responses. We'll share them with you coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
And so this is Just Be Friday. We give you a chance to weigh in on a little bit of anything and everything. Avs, Nugs, Rockies, Masters, and of course, everything going on with the Broncos. We asked you if you could to sum up what you think George Payton's plan is. And here is some reaction on the Ramoslav.com text line, 303-713-1043. So the George Payton plan and model is to mimic Minnesota. Great. So he can be mediocre for the next half a decade.
wait a minute. Can you explain to me, Texter, what have we been for this half a decade? To be mediocre would be a step up.
I would love to be mediocre.
Right. To be mediocre would be like, I mean, that would be like Shangri-La. Mediocre. We're so far from mediocre. We're not even close to mediocre. I mean, what have we been? Seriously. 9-7, 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, and 5-11? mediocre would be, I mean, mediocre would be a huge step up for the Broncos. Huge.
But is the Minnesota model one we want long term? I mean, is the Minnesota model a sound one and they've just been a bit unlucky? Or is there something about their model that is just good enough to make you good but not great?
I think the Minnesota model, I mean, I think we're going to fight the same thing that the Minnesota Vikings have fought for over a decade. They're fighting a unicorn. Happens to play in Green Bay. And they're fighting a team in Chicago that has one of the, you know, the kind of the no-fly type of defenses. What that defense did in 2018, Mike, what that defense was in 2018 was it was eye-bending. So you understand, I just don't think people give context. They look at records or they look at statistics and they say, well, I don't want to be that. 10-6 every year, you know, a first round exit in the playoffs. If you're honest with yourself and you're if you're an honest Bronco fan right now, dude, we have got an uphill climb. I mean, an uphill climb.
See, Mark, you and I keep going round and round on this. You've got plenty of people out there. I'm not creating straw men here. I mean, there are plenty of fans, plenty of people in the media, plenty of people with NFL connections who believe this is a better than it's given credit for roster that is just above average quarterback play away from being a really good team.
Let me go back to what I was saying. You have got a huge uphill climb in that, okay? Even if you do what I'm telling you to do is to build your roster, you still have Patrick Mahomes, Herbert, and it looks like Herbert's going to be a star. Now, 1 year, it's a very small sample size, I get it. Derek Carr, I know people don't like him. Derek Carr is legit.
Oh, I'd love to have Derek Carr.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I am telling you guys, you know, it's the people who fall into the just keep swimming motto of the NFL draft. Just draft a quarterback. He'll lift us. He'll take us to the promised land. That's what's going to happen. Be honest with me. Go back to the Super Bowl. Honestly, go back to the Super Bowl. What won that? What is, if you looked at the three factors or four factors that truly won that Super Bowl for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how would you list that?
Oh, I would start with the fact that Kansas City scored 9 points.
Okay.
So defensively, their personnel and their game plan was perfect.
Okay. What else?
Brady being allowed to have plenty of time to do what he does best, make good decisions, accurate throws, carve people up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else?
Terrible coaching from Andy Reid and
I'll give you that.
Eric Bieniemy.
I don't have a problem saying that.
Okay. Well, I just gave you three. What else am I leaving out?
All right. So I would, you're not, but I would say this. Now, Brady was 21 of 29, right? Three TDs, no interceptions. He got sacked one time, right? They ran the ball. Fournette averaged 5.6 yards a carry. He got 16 carries. Jones averaged 5.1 yards per carry. He got 12 carries. So you're talking right there. You're talking 28 carries, 29 throws. Brady had a couple of carries, so they actually were balanced. They had more runs than, and all that stuff. Most of his big plays came off of play action. Why he completed 72%. But I would say this, defense was phenomenal, Mike. Great game plan by your coach. Great execution by your players. Great speed and athleticism by your players. Dominated the line of scrimmage, but more importantly, dominated the passing game. Therefore, it allowed your line of scrimmage to win. I would also say this, the culture that Brady brings, more than what he did from a quarterbacking standpoint throughout the playoffs. Hell, they won a game where he threw, what, three interceptions in the NFC Championship? Didn't he throw three picks in the second half? And they still found a way to win that game? Mm-hmm. That's not Brady leading you. That's your team lifting up your quarterback. But again, it's the culture. It's the believability. It's where we are. And you think that just drafting any Tom, Dick, or Harry in the draft that plays quarterback because you take him in the top 10 ensures you a unicorn? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And how people of intelligence and how people who have followed this league, and I just gave you the last 10 years of the Jacksonville Jaguars have drafted in the top 10 eight times, Cleveland seven times, the Jets six times, San Francisco five times. I just gave you, and there's other teams in Arizona's probably six times they've drafted there with two different quarterbacks. The bottom line, Mike, is you got to have good football players, and then you have got to find a guy at some point. But every guy is not going to be that dude. And when you're talking about this division, what's easier, finding a unicorn or building a really good football team? You tell me.
So who's real quick? Who's the former general manager? Scott McLuhan? For Washington and San Francisco. Am I pronouncing the last name right? McLuhan? Scott McLuhan.
I think
that's how it's pronounced.
All right.
Anyway, he's now working as doing some draft consulting for several teams. So he was asked about the likelihood that five quarterbacks will go in the top 10.
Yeah.
Maybe top seven. He said, five QBs in the top 15? Are you bleeping me? There should be two. And when it's all said and done, there will probably be one that deserved it.
Sure.
He went on to say he had major concerns about Zach Wilson because he plays so small with his size that he actually reminds him more of Doug Flutie. Uh-oh. Yeah.
Well, I don't know that McLuhan has had did he have a lot of success?
He's an NFL general manager for two teams.
Yeah. Two crappy teams.
Well,
at the time.
Well, I got to look at what his time in San Francisco, because you were talking about San Francisco's drafts. I wonder, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
I'll do some efforting during the break.
Four-down
territory is coming up next. While it would appear Teddy Bridgewater is earmarked for Denver, could there be some obstacles along the way? Tell you about it next.
Be quiet, I'm answering the question.
This is four down territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69, offense, he's giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arm.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken bone, you taste so good.
Ready, Brad. First down.
I think there's things we have to work through, obviously. No. And I've already talked to Teddy's agents. We're going to find the right place, whether it's here, wherever it may be. We'll figure things out, and contract-wise as well.
That is Scott Fitterer, the Panthers GM. Did he kind of let that slip a little bit? Where he said, working with Teddy's agent, trying to find the best fit, including here. Realize what he was saying, including here.
Well, it tells you that Teddy's willing to rework his deal to get moved to a place that gives him a chance to, gives him a chance to play. I would imagine that. Isn't that what it tells you?
Without giving up that $10 million guaranteed, though.
Well, yeah, he's not going to give that.
Someone's going to pay that.
Yeah.
So the question is, do the Panthers look at it and say, okay, we'll pay you $10 million to go away and let you become a free agent, or we want to get something in return for you? Maybe we'll pick up the $10 million, we'll pay that, but we want to make sure we get something for you, or we want to make sure we not only get something for you, but that other team picks up the $10 million.
If you were the Panthers, wouldn't you, and you're going after Sam Darnold, wouldn't you want there to be some competition in camp, and wouldn't you want, both of those guys?
Well,
there?
That's the other question. Did they make the move for Sam Darnold with the idea that they've anointed him? Or did they just simply?
Well, if they're planning on bringing him in to be part
of the room,
if they're planning on moving him or negotiating with his agent, then it would tell you that they have brought Sam Darnold in and are anointing Sam Darnold the starting quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. Because I don't think there would be any guy that you would rather have in your quarterback room than Teddy Bridgewater from a mentoring standpoint. So that would be my, like, angle on that. But you're saying to Teddy, hey man, we're already replacing. There's no competition here. We're giving this to Sam. So Teddy's going, okay, then I need to move. If I'm going to back up, I'm going to go back up somewhere where I can win, and it's not here.
As our 9 News Bronco insider Mike Kliss posted on Twitter, hey, there are some teams that could have interest in Bridgewater. Keep an eye on Atlanta with the Terry Fontenot New Orleans connection, as well as the Bucks with the Todd Bowles Jets tie. Next in 4 Down Territory.
Second down.
Tua looking, look out from behind, and down he goes. DeMarcus Walker off that line, comes through, brings him down.
Westwood One there with the call. DeMarcus Walker, who seemingly started to figure it out in year 4 with the Broncos, is a free agent, has not been re-signed by the Broncos, hasn't signed with anyone, just had a visit with the Texans. Two-part question. Are you surprised the Broncos haven't brought him back? And are you surprised he's still out there looking for work?
I am not surprised because this is that second wave free agency. After the first wave's over and the dust settles, now it is about, all right, let's see how we're going to build, you know, let's see how we're going to build our roster. Kind of like what the Broncos did getting, Stevens, right?
Shamar Stevens.
Yeah, Shamar Stevens.
Shamar Stephen.
Stephen. Okay, yeah. So, you know, it's kind of one of those scenarios. And so I think there's a lot of teams right now that are still doing their work, but now it becomes, okay, who's a nice piece? Who's a rotational piece for us? And there's not the frenzy. So there's no need to, you know, there's no need to scurry about and you know, and find, you know, be anxious about it. So I think he'll get signed. I did think that the Broncos would bring him back.
Yep.
So, which could still happen, obviously.
Next in 4 Down Territory.
Third down.
You know, to be home coach family would be cool, but at the end of the day, I want to have my legacy in Pittsburgh and retire there.
How about this from Juju Smith, who said had he not re-signed with the Steelers, he had interest in joining KC.
They had an offer for him.
Yeah.
And he took less money to stay in Pittsburgh.
Good. Because...
Yeah,
well, I know Juju Smith was down the last couple of years. He came on strong at the end of this last year. That guy's a good player.
Really good player.
Really good player. I stay in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Don't need to see you twice a year.
Yeah, that's another. Yeah, that would just be, you know, an embarrassment of riches once again.
Next in 4 Down Territory.
Fourth down.
Play action. Lawrence looks downfield. Going to throw it downfield. Got Rodgers open. Hits him at the 35. Rodgers off to the end zone. Touchdown, Clemson.
Clemson Tigers radio. Trevor Lawrence is throwing again after he had surgery on his left non-throwing shoulder. Do you have any doubts about him at all? I mean, is there...
How about new?
Any potential in your mind that this guy... does not live up to the hype.
Of course.
No. Some people believe the best prospect to come along, quarterback prospect in 40 years. Ever.
Yeah.
Better than Elway. Better than Peyton. Better than Andrew Luck.
Do I have concern? Of course.
Better than Josh Rosen. I know.
Wow.
Setting the bar high. Better prospect coming out of college than even Paxton Lynch. God, I love the ones that are organic.
Yeah, it just happened.
Day number 2175.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do have concerns. He's going to Jacksonville. Now, new regime. Urban Meyer, all that kind of stuff, you know, people are excited about that, but still the Jaguars. Remember the last 10 years, you know how many top 10 picks they've had. Eight.
But they did build a really good team, a team that, even with Blake Bortles at quarterback, was this close to going to the Super Bowl.
Who's the coach then?
Was that Marone?
Was Doug Marone the coach then?
Yeah.
Oh.
Remember, they were just a inadvertent whistle away from a fumble that would have been returned. And
yeah. Remember now,
I think they would have gone up by like 17 or something like that in Foxborough.
Yeah, they had a really outstanding defense. I mean, they were loaded at all three levels, linebacker level, and they either all left or quit, you know, retired, left, or got in trouble, or just said, I'm not going to play here anymore, and got traded to the Rams.
Yeah, because that thing was going. That thing looked like it was built the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, Telvin Smith was just like one of the top linebackers in football. He's just like, yeah, I can't play here anymore. I'm just going to be done. This just stinks. This place is awful.
That'll do it for 4 Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Up next, we talk to our pal Spilly, Ryan Spielborgs. What does he think about Adam Wainwright of the Cardinals saying that Nolan's been trying to get to St. Louis for a couple of years now? Ryan Spielborgs joins us next. Our Rockies analyst joins us courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Spilly, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. A couple of nice back-to-back wins and some great performances by Sensatella and obviously John Gray yesterday taking a no-no into the seventh, man. That's what you're going to have to do on a consistent basis for this team to continue to win games, don't you? To have that kind of depth from your starters?
There's no question, Stink. I mean, what's crazy, we had a note yesterday where in the last 20 years, if you start looking at some young staff, the Rockies rank fifth with the most consecutive days with starters that are under the age of 30. That may not seem like a big deal, but it's now 5 years in. So 5 years, they've used starters under the age of 30. And the reason why that's so important to note is that you do have young pitchers that have started to develop. And usually when you're younger, velocity and secondary pitches, you'll have higher velocity, but secondary pitches aren't quite as developed. And over the last 2 or 3 years, even though we've seen some injuries, Rockies starters have been the team's, you know, strength. It's been the strength of the Rockies pitching, which is not something normal, right? When we think of Colorado Rockies, we think of hitters and position players. And it really has been. The Rockies have been developing internal starters, and the numbers are proving it.
Yeah, Spilly, one of the things that was interesting to me is how much kind of almost backwards pitching there has been over the last couple of starts by both Sensatella. It really changed from start one to start two, really kind of leaning more on that secondary stuff, more on that off-speed stuff. And then, you know, mixing the fastball. I thought John Gray did the same thing yesterday. Really, like, is there a conscious decision to kind of almost pitch backwards by that staff and by Bud Black?
Yeah, that's a great note. You must be watching our broadcast, which I'm impressed. We have definitely noted that the changeup usage, not just from starters, but from the relievers, has increased. They're actually third in Major League Baseball with changeup usage from the bullpen. And then for Sensatella and for Gray, yeah, great. You're right. They're throwing fastball at about 40% of the time, which is such an amazing number to think about. This is why I say hitting at the major league level in 2021 in the last couple of years is so difficult. The average fastball for Gray and Sensatella is 95 miles an hour. And 95 miles an hour is over like the natural, you know, hitting timing. You know, 93 is like, that's almost like BP fastball now, unless you have deception. But 95, you start getting into, like, hitters have to guess for fastball. You have to guess, you have to sell out. And when pitchers are throwing the fastball only 40% of the time and 60% of the time is a secondary pitch and they're throwing it for strikes, Well, now you've totally messed up the hitter. The hitter's at your mercy because they can only hit a mistake. And if you're not making a ton of mistakes or you're not walking guys, it makes hitting even harder. So, and we've seen that. Santikala had the shutout from 2 days ago, and Gray had a no-hitter going into the seventh. So it's a trend we've seen in baseball. Velocity's up. Secondary pitches are used more than velocity. So it really is a difficult time to be a hitter in Major League Baseball right now. And, yes, the Rockies are changing their philosophy.
Visiting with Ryan Spielborgs, when you look at the Rockies pitching, the strength seems to be the starting pitching. There are a lot of questions with the bullpen. I'm wondering, might Bud Black try to go a little bit more old school in a time in which it seems like every team is like, hey, if I can just get five innings, maybe six from my starter, then I'll turn it over to the bullpen. Should Bud Black be trying to challenge his starters like we've seen the last couple games? Pitch into the seventh, go eight, and try to maybe mask some of the issues you have with the bullpen.
I would say no to that one, only because it's this year with the amount of innings required to try to get, you know, from it's 1,458 from 540 a year ago. You're going to have to almost slow play the starters. I mean, you're going to try to get length, but you're going to try to get length with pitch count and stress. So, you know, yesterday John Gray came out after 101 pitches. We haven't seen a Rockies starter over 100 pitches until yesterday. And you have to rely on bullpens. Right? Like, as much as I'm not crazy about it, you have to, because there you have way more relievers that you can call up and send down. They're you know, like Stink, you get it with your son. You know, the relievers are the ones that are probably the most abused position in all of our sport, because you can send them up and send them down. The starters, they'll try to protect. So for Bud to try to overextend his starters early in the year, when we still have such a long season to go, we've only played week one. There's 27 weeks. Talk about football being 16 weeks. Baseball is 27 weeks. You try to win every week. You don't want to overextend starters this early in the season.
Spilly, I would like to get your thoughts on Adam Wainwright of the Cardinals saying that over the last 2 years, Nolan Arenado would send Wainwright videos of him hitting to show to Cardinals management, quote, when he was trying to get traded over here. What's your reaction to that?
I'm actually shocked to hear that. I mean, that's the first time I've heard that. I don't know, so I can't comment on if he did or not. You know, the baseball is a small fraternity. I'll say this. You know, it's not a shock that good players text each other. You know, Nolan's been really good friends with Paul Goldschmidt for years. They played together on Team USA. He's friends with Eric Hosmer, you know, all those guys. They have a connection. So you can understand, you know, there are connections to teams that you play for, whether it's an all-star team or a Team USA. And so, like, it doesn't surprise me that you might have had a relationship or direct contact, but I hope that's not the case. I mean, I don't like that to think about, hey, show management my swing. And I don't think Nolan has to send a swing to Adam Wainwright for the Cardinals to look up his swing when it's available to all of us online and through various means. But, I mean, that's not my favorite thing to hear. But I do know that Nolan has a lot of great relationships with people, and his homer yesterday was a big deal for him. So I was actually happy for him.
Did you get
him that chance?
We know he wasn't happy prior to getting the new contract, but when he got the new contract, did you get the sense that he was 100% committed to the Rockies, or was there any question that even with the new deal, he wondered if this was the long-term place for him?
You know, Nolan was really happy. I don't think there's any massive risk before he signed the long-term deal. I don't think that's correct. You know, for Nolan, I know Nolan pretty well. We've known each other now for 10 years. With him, you know, he signs a long-term deal and, he wants to beat the Dodgers and, you know, they go back-to-back playoffs and then go backwards in 2019, and, you know, then you go backwards again in 2020, and then you have whatever additional, you know, relationship miscues happened between him and management. But for Nolan, he was pot committed. I mean, just like, you know, I believe the Rockies were pot committed when they gave that deal to Nolan in 2019. I think the frustrating part for any competitor, I've said this, and it's rare because if you're a player on a Hall of Fame trajectory, which very few people are, you know, that you might come, they're generational type players. And so those players almost demand a different legacy piece. And it's not fair. It's not right. Not every player is going to agree with it. Everybody wants to win just as much as that guy. But when there's a legacy piece involved, those players tend to, you know, really look at what the organization's doing because they're there long term. And they want to be, you know, they want to be remembered for winning and not for being on the team that's not winning. So, you know, they turn into a little bit of a teammate over time. And that certainly happened with Nolan.
Hey, as we let you go, I thought that, you know, speaking of legacy players, and I thought you guys did a great job on the broadcast yesterday with Hank Aaron. And the one thing that blew me away, 25 all-star appearances for Hank Aaron. I just like, I texted Drew right away, go, what? 25 all-star appearances? I thought you guys did a tremendous job with that. And I think so far I've been very pleasantly surprised with all the doomsday prognostication when it comes to the Rockies of the way they've showed up and played these first two series.
Yeah, me too, Stink. I mean, there's going to be some weeks of baseball where it's going to be tough. You know, this is going to be an exciting series in San Francisco. Home opener for the Giants, and they're a much better team, and we'll see how the Rockies' offense carries. But with Hank Aaron, I mean, I've said this, I believe in my heart of hearts, he's the greatest player that ever played Major League Baseball. Just if you start looking at all the different accolades, you know, that he accomplished, the longevity, what he went through as an African American in the South to surpass Babe Ruth, you know, like the consummate gentleman. I mean, there's a couple guys on that Mount Rushmore, but I think when you really dig into the numbers with Hank Aaron, I mean, I'll say it, like, I believe it. He is the greatest baseball player that ever played.
All right, Spilly, man. We appreciate you, buddy. Great stuff. Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Ryan Spielborg's our Rockies analyst, joining us courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. All right, we got a question mark coming up. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get a bunch of stuff off your chest heading off into the weekend. So hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Why don't we get into the question mark right now? This is KKFN and KKFN, HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.